Familiar sounds echoed through Gillette Stadium last night. Brady, Brady, were you?
Back.
That's Chris Sitterick. Chris, hang on a second. No, seriously. So, Chris, here to talk to us about the game last night with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Mac Jones, right, Chris, and the New England Patriots. What do we want to hear from listeners, Chris?
Well, I would love to hear from anybody just kind of what they thought. There was so much buildup leading up to the game last night. What did you think, whether you were there or watching from home or even just were like, I have had too much and I have to tune out after the week leading up to it? Because, man, it was quite a week of back and forth with the Brady-Belichick soap opera. You can jump on board and join the conversation, 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK.
So you were in the building last night.
I was indeed, yes.
And so was it the drama of Shakespearean proportion that we discussed last Friday? I got to tell you, it kind of felt like it was watching it at home.
Oh, it definitely was. There was something, it was electric in the parking lot, folks kind of milling around with this almost kind of nervous energy. And then when folks started kind of filing into the building, the skies just opened up and you had this just rain kind of pouring down and the stands are filling up and folks are just getting soaked, but just incredibly loud. And it became this just electric atmosphere and it was a great game. It was this like slugfest. It felt like a heavyweight fight where you'd get the Tampa Bay best shot and then the Patriots would respond every time back and forth. And I got to say, this crowd was so amped. It's probably the loudest crowd I've ever heard, definitely for a regular season game. I just want to play a little bit so you can get a sense. This is just an early third down, random, early in the game, not threatening to score or anything. Pats are up 7-3. Brady comes out, and just listen to this crowd go. Just a steady roar. I mean, it barely stepped down from that level of volume unless the Patriots had the ball and then the fans would kind of quiet down so they could operate. But it was just an absolutely energized crowd. You know, I said it was going to be a close game. I didn't think it would be that close a game. It came down to a last-minute field goal attempt. Nick Folk for the Patriots had a 56-yarder. Here's how that went.
From 56. On its way. It is. No good. You can hear the doink.
You sure can.
Yeah, doink
sure
is can. Never an outcome that you want in a football game. We've had so many sound effects in Boston sports, Chris, you and I, over the last year or two, from the Bruins to the Sox to the Pats. Let me just invite listeners in on this. Did you watch last night or was it too much for you? And what was the experience? Did you expect it to be this close of a game? I mean, it was a close game. And is the story about Brady today, or is the story about the Patriots? Because I know what I think, and I'm not sure I think the same thing as everybody else. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What do you think? So, Chris, it all ends with a doink when the football bounces off the goalpost.
Yeah, not with a bang, right? No, it was absolutely kind of fitting. I mean, it was not the way I wanted it to end, but it felt appropriate because I felt like that sound effect was all of my emotions summed up in one noise. I mean, it was just it was a conflicted night as a fan. You're there kind of, here's a guy who was the face of your franchise for 20 years and you want to celebrate him, but at the same time, he's the enemy now. He's the opponent coming onto your field, and you have to represent. I thought the Patriots did a pretty good job of showing up, especially considering the stage.
So I really want to talk about that because a lot of headlines today about how Tom Brady did it again. He got it done. I felt like I saw a different game. I felt like I saw a game where the Patriots, but for a missed field goal, and I get it, right? You know, close doesn't count,
right? Yeah, scoreboard. Exactly.
But for a missed field goal, would have won that game last night, and that is not what people were expecting out of this matchup.
No, I mean, you, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're talking about the defending Super Bowl champions coming into Gillette Stadium. The Patriots have not looked good this year, and they're coming off last week. They played potentially their worst game they've ever played in a long time. I mean, it was, this team did not look like a cohesive team coming into this week. So to see them kind of respond the way they did, and I would agree with you, Tiziana, I thought they played the way they needed to play to win the game up until the end, and kind of that was a questionable call to kick that field goal. Nick Folk has only made a 56-yarder one other time in his career. It's his career long, so he would have tied his career long. And that was back in 2011, so 10 years ago. Plus, he's been dealing with injuries. The Patriots had a 4th-and-3 on the 40-yard line. I really was hoping they were going to go for it. The offense felt like it was clicking. Mac Jones looked good. He was making the throws he needed to throw. You could actually say he outplayed Brady last night.
I think I would say that he outplayed Brady last night. And in the, let's get back to the Shakespeare part, Chris. You know, in the Shakespearean drama, this is the young prince who's challenging the old king sort of for the new crown.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm going to go with the Star Wars, when last we met, you were the master.
That's right.
Right? Like, it's the apprentice coming in and kind of the passing of the torch. Mac Jones played great. I think it's a little unfair to say he definitely had a better game. You know, they're going up against different defenses. Tampa Bay doesn't have a great defense, especially their corners, which means he's able to throw a little better. And Brady had to go against a Bill Belichick-run defense, right? And
yeah,
who knows Brady better than Belichick? So he really knew how to scheme him, how to confuse him a little bit. But I got to say, it was really great to see them kind of come together as a team. I felt like you've got so many guys coming in off this offseason. We talked about all the money they spent, right, bringing in guys on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And yet now it feels like here we are week four. They've finally started to coalesce and kind of play for each other and with each other and not just kind of be a bunch of individuals running around out there.
All right, let's pick up some calls here. We've got Simon on the line in Watertown. Simon, you're on.
I want to throw out congratulations to the defense. I thought that the defense, with the possible exception of the offensive line that's banged up, that they did so great. The secondary against AB was awesome. And what about that new player we got off of free agency, Judon? I think his first name is Matt. He was awesome. He looks like our next team leader.
Yeah, I've been pumped about bringing him in. He's a phenomenal player, and he has hit the ground running here. He's probably been the best free agent acquisition the team's had. And I agree. I think the defense really stepped up to the challenge. Again, you're talking about the defending Super Bowl champions. You're talking about incredible weapons. I don't know if Chris Godwin's name got called once. That's Brady's go-to receiver. So this defense did really step up and make it really hard for Tom.
All right, I'm going to go back to the phones, and I'm laughing ahead of time, Chris. The number is 1-800-423-8255 because Mary is on the line in Andover, and she is going to let us have it. So, Mary,
let's go, Mary. What do you got?
I'm not going to let you have it. I love New England sports fans. They are the most passionate. They're wonderful. But this was a football game. We hyped it for weeks. It happened. I think it's time to move on and look at the rest of the season.
Oh, come on. This was the football game.
Mary, I love you. I love you. Thank you for calling. Okay, so Chris, I do want to leave a couple minutes for the Sox. And Mary says, enough to see here, folks. Move it along. So give us one thing about the season.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a team to watch. I really feel like even in a loss, this could be a galvanizing moment where guys find a way to rally and come together and step it up and really kind of improve the execution going forward. They could be a tough team as the season moves along here.
Okay, and before we move to the Sox, I am going to play I Told You So. Here's some sound.
I thought you were going to skip this.
I don't know. I told you last Friday, Thursday, he was going to get booed, and you didn't believe me. So you started with the Brady chants, so I just needed to end this part with the boos because they were there too.
It's fair. It's fair. I thought he would kind of be the one player above that. You know me. I love a good boo. I think it's one of the best parts of sports when a fan gets to kind of participate like that. But, you know, with everything he's done for the team and kind of the history of 20 years of greatness, I thought he would be rise above that. But it was kind of it fit the tone of the night. Let's say that.
All right. So in the last couple of minutes, I want to make a stark comparison between the scene we've just talked about and what the Red Sox experienced at Fenway just a few hours earlier.
Goodness gracious, Rafael Devers' second home run today, and the Boston Red Sox have the lead in the ninth inning.
And we aren't talking cheapies here.
I mean,
he could have posed for that one.
It's a really big deal. You want to talk about drama, Chris. This wasn't supposed to happen.
I mean, it wasn't. This is a team,
Red Sox
team has been an absolute roller coaster. They were only in that situation yesterday because they couldn't manage to take two games against the Orioles in the series before. That's a team that's lost over 100 games this year. So this team, you never really know which version is going to show up. They now have a one-game wild card, basically a play-in game to the playoffs against the Yankees tomorrow night, which Yankees coming to Fenway for a one-game loser goes home. I mean, what's better than
that
in terms of sports drama?
For our listeners who don't know sports deeply, this is sudden death. This is the Red Sox and the Yankees at Fenway Park tomorrow night with a Red Sox team where you don't know what they're going to do, and it is sudden death.
And it's the Yankees. So, I mean, Red Sox-Yankees, it's still great. I got to say, the winner here of this game tomorrow night goes on to face the Tampa Bay Rays. There's Tampa rearing its head again. I don't think this Sox team is going far. Even if they manage to beat the Yankees, I don't see them making a deep playoff run. It's tough to know what to expect, but again, I love this one game. You win, you go on. You lose, you go home. I think it's a really fun way to kind of energize and jumpstart the playoffs heading into the baseball playoffs.
All right, so I'm going to take your interpretation as the old preschool line, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
That's right. That's right.
That's Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Chris, that was fun. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a good time.